And there are nine of them. There's nine fruit that's mentioned. It's love, joy, peace, patience. The NIV says patience. I like the word, I think it's macrothea, something like that in the Greek language, and it means long suffering. A little bit better than patience, long suffering. And then kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, or meekness, gentleness, and our all-time favorite, self-control. Against such, there is no law. Just join me for a quick word of prayer. Father, we take seriously now our time together as we come to your word. And Lord, we know that your word is alive. It works. There's energy here. And that you, by your Spirit, speak this word. And I pray you'd speak this word into all of our lives today, that you might accomplish your purposes in each one of us. In Christ's name, amen. Okay. So here we are at the fruit of the Spirit. And I want to zero in just on those couple of verses. There's a lot to say by context, and hopefully by saying a few things, somewhat of the context of this word will be felt. But nonetheless, I want to really focus my attention today. And that's good for all of us, okay? Focusing my attention. And looking at this verse as we talk about the fruit of the Spirit in our lives and God's work by His Holy Spirit in my life. Now, there's a lot to be said, and this is how I want to look at this. There's a lot to be said for inner beauty. There's a lot to be said for a person's inner beauty. We've all met people, and for one reason or another, certain people don't have some things going for them. And yet, though, you know, I don't know how to put this and be kind, you know, they don't have it all together. We'll say maybe there's even a physical handicap that would draw our attention away from this person or you know, who they are. And yet, when you come into contact with certain people who may be lacking, yet there's something that emanates from them that's a quality of their lives that overshadows anything else that might almost be somewhat, you know, make us stand off from them. You know people like that? I've met people like that. And it's worked the opposite way, too. Met people who seemingly, you know, have everything going for them to be attractive to, and they come across with, you know, magnetic personality or features or whatever. And when you get close enough, you just almost feel like pushed away. Almost the opposite happens. But to focus on this whole idea of an inner beauty. And when you think of the fruit of the Spirit, this is what we want to look at. Okay, an inner beauty. And it works like this. God works in our lives from the inside out. From the inside out. Always. It isn't that the outside doesn't have its place, let alone its importance. But God's at work in me. God's at work in Lulewitz. God's at work in your life. And He's at work from the inside out. And that's how it matters most that way. Now, we're made, I would go so far as to say that we're made or broken. And you heard that phrase before. We're made or broken by how we are on the inside. What matters most about me and what's going to make me or break me is how am I on the inside? You know, deep down, you know, what am I, who am I, what am I like? what kind of beauty exists there on the inside of me. And that's where it all happens. Now, I believe that all failures in our lives, and, you know, from simple failures to complex failures, giving in to little temptations to big temptations, if you will, from not having it, you know, from being selfish to spouting off and getting angry, whatever the failure is, or successes in my life, that I'm able to, you know, ride the storm and see things through, that I'm able to remain even and able to be buoyant, have a buoyancy about my life when I should be sucking water and drowning. Successes. I believe that all failures and successes in a person's life take place on the inside of us first. We either fail or we succeed, and they happen first on the inside of us. What's going on there? The inside of us is what matters most to God. And so when you read this whole text here about the fruit of the Spirit, that's the kind of stuff that he's talking about. The kind of stuff on the inside of us. You know? And to call it stuff is a big thing. So God is at work in our lives. He's at work in me. And, you know, when you look at being saved, that God, you know, got a hold of my life. And when God got hold of my life, he had a purpose in mind for me. And his purpose in mind for me is that my life would be fruitful, that my life would have these 9 characteristics about them. That's what he's about. That's what God's work is about in my life. Now, the Holy Spirit has a big chore on his hands. I don't know about you, but when I would look at the fruit in my life, when I would see what kind of fruit my life is bearing sometimes it doesn't come across too joyful. It doesn't look too joyful. It doesn't look too peaceful. You know? There seems to be something lacking. The fruit at times seems a little sparse, if you will. And it's like, wow. And I really think that the relationship that we have with God, which is by his Spirit, and of all the work that the Holy Spirit does in my life and in your life, and he does a lot. And I think that sometimes we forget about the Holy Spirit. You know, we say Father, Son, and let's see, who's the other one there? Oh yeah, the Holy Spirit. And we forget. And yet, that there would be no Christian life, there would be no understanding of God the Father, God the Son, without the Holy Spirit. And how essential it is for us to know and to be filled, of all the things to be filled with, we won't go there, how important it is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not what we want to talk about this morning, but when we talk about the work of the Holy Spirit producing fruit in our lives, it's major. In God's economy, God puts a lot of time and energy. The Holy Spirit puts a lot of time and energy in all of our lives, and working so that this kind of fruit is the outcome of our lives. This kind of fruit, and you know, I was thinking this morning about this, and kind of, you know, my wild imagination. Taking a look at the Holy Spirit at times, just winded, sucking wind, and saying, you know, what's the matter? You are some piece of work, little. It's, you know, you are certainly giving me a run for my money. And I think that's the way it goes in all of our lives. I really do. That of all the things that God the Holy Spirit does in our lives, this causes him the most grief in our lives. Now, I'm just thinking about myself, okay? and the things that, as I mention these nine things, and I know where I live. Now, so looking at that, I want to just mention each one of these nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, okay, as we go through this morning, as we talk together. And say a couple of things just to, again, to focus on these things. And to ask ourselves the question, is this the fruit that's being produced in my life? Now, there's something about this work of the Holy Spirit in our lives that we have to understand. And that is, in as much as the Holy Spirit is producing this fruit in our lives, and really, really seriously, it's something that I cannot do apart from Him. So, as we've said before, the fruit that the Holy Spirit produces in my life, in this scripture that we just read, we're not looking at it from the viewpoint of, you know, self-help, a self-help formula. No, the Bible's not a self-help book. We said that. It is, though, this is Spirit helping us. And in as much as, you know, there are those things that we have to look at and we have to do, it is a cooperation between me and the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit's going to do it, but He's going to solicit, He's going to be looking for, He's going to be calling upon my help to participate with Him. But still, it's by grace, but it is a cooperative effort. Okay? It's a cooperative effort. I have to participate with Him in the producing of this fruit. Now, you can almost look at it like playing in a garden. You ever have a garden before? An amazing thing about a garden is, you know, it's like, you know, every day you go out to your garden after you plant it and you walk the rows, right? You know, and it's like, is there any fruit yet? Is there any fruit yet? And sometimes, you know, we look at our lives. Have you ever done this and wonder where the fruit is? You know, and you're peeking and whatever, like, you know, where is it? And we have this time-lapse mentality sometimes. You ever see that? I remember as a kid first seeing time-lapse on what? Huh? Sunday nights. I wasn't a Christian, so I wasn't in church then. Sunday nights, the magical world of some of you people. You don't remember? The time-lapse photography that Disney, right? And, you know, and he would show a flower or something when it was a seed in the time, and it would grow. Right, exactly. And there it is in a matter of seconds. Well, it doesn't work that way in our lives. It's produced sometimes so what? Slowly. But after a while, if you take good care of your garden, somehow, almost wonderfully, magically, after a certain amount of time, all the tomatoes are out and they're red and ripe and ready to eat. And that's the way it works in our lives. And we have to get that as we're talking about this. So it's not so much where, you know, help yourself and do whatever you got to do to be a more loving person and to have fruit, you know, that kind of fruit. No. Cooperate with the Holy Spirit's work in your life to see love, the kind of love that He wants produced in your life. And here's a secret, right, that's out there. Only He can produce the kind of fruit that He's after out of our lives. Everything else is just plastic and imitation. Have you ever seen that? My mother, growing up as a kid, used to have a fruit thing on. I can still see it on our table. You know, you wouldn't want to try any of the bananas or oranges or apples there. They were plastic. And I can remember as a kid taking the banana and chewing on it. All kids are stupid. I was a dumb kid. And so, otherwise, you know, that's all we get is imitation, plastic fruit, unless the Holy Spirit produces it. And so, let's just talk about these. How many of them are there? Nine. The nine fruit of the Spirit. You see it there? This is what God is doing in your life right now. Now, as I said, take courage, because sometimes it seems, it's like imperceptible. After you first plant the garden, you walk in the rows. Where's the fruit? But trust me, if the Holy Spirit is in your life and you're cooperating with Him, as imperceptible as it may seem or feel, He's at work there to produce this kind of stuff this kind of fruit in your life and in mine. And the first, of course, is love. Love. Now, when I think about love and this fruit that the Holy Spirit wants to produce in my life, I want to look at it this way. That of all the things that can be said about love, and a lot of stuff has to be said about love, a lot of stuff has been said about love. I think that we can kind of encapsulate it, and that's what I want to do with all of these, just encapsulate something behind each one of them. And that would be to put it this way. That this kind of love that the Holy Spirit wants to produce in my life is the kind of love that causes me to think of myself less. Yeah, think of myself less. It's an unselfish thing to think of myself less. Now, you know, I don't want to go here. It's not thinking less of myself. It's thinking, you know, it's not that kind of self-esteem thing, but it's thinking less. Thinking of myself less. So that it really captures the kind of love that says, you know what, and here's the thing. It isn't that I have to feel something good about someone else. You know, I've had people that have done me wrong, and my initial reaction isn't, oh, how wonderful. You know, oh, thank you. Thanks a lot. Oh, how good you just made me feel. No, in fact, I feel just the opposite. If I could send them a letter bomb, I would. You know? But you see, love says that I work through that, and instead of cursing them, I bless them. I bless them. That's what love says. That love says, in spite of the way that I feel, I respond in such a way that is loving, even though I don't have the feelings for it. Now, you've got to really deny yourself. I'm talking, you know. I mean, I have been in situations before, I'm telling you, where I have been going like this. And I'm ready. I think I can tell you stories. Had a case at camp where this young man, he wasn't on our staff, was on the staff of the camp, and he was hitting on one of our nurses. And we had to call him out on it. And this guy is going off, and my fist is clenching, you know, pretty good. Damn. And it's like, easy now. Easy now. And so there is that kind of thing. But to the kind of fruit that the Holy Spirit wants to produce in our lives when it comes to love is that there's a selfishness that has to be broken in me. Never should two selfish people get married. Here's the thing. There'd be no marriages if we follow that. All two people who get married are why? Selfish. Absolutely. And the thing that we learn in marriage is in all relationships is what? How to love. Where I'm not going to be selfish. It's a tragedy when couples or relationships or people live for themselves, even though, and they don't allow this fruit of the Spirit to happen in their lives. Okay, so that's the first one. And it's the Holy Spirit only can he teach us the real meaning of love. And the really real meaning of love is that I think less of myself. I think less of myself. Learning to think less of me and more of, and you name him, you name her, you name the situation. The next one is joy. These will move on quickly, joy. Now, this is the way I want to look at joy in approaching it from this kind of fruit. I would say it like this. You can have everything. Now, you know, Dave Ramsey calls it stuffitis, you know. And we're all prone to believe the lie that what makes me happy is what I have. Right? know, right? So I would say it like this. You can have everything and be without a relationship with God and have nothing. You can have nothing but a relationship with God and have joy.
Amen.
You get that? Okay, peace. Peace. Remember those days? Peace. Peace. Here's the thing about this kind of peace that the Holy Spirit produces in our lives. Okay? When I, you know, think of a lesson. I want you to see it. Jesus is on the boat. Now, a few of the guys on the boat are fishermen, used to being on boats. A storm comes up, the boat gets swamped, all of them, including the fishermen, are scared half out of their minds. They're in a tremendous storm. And Jesus is sleeping in the middle of the storm. Can you imagine? Now, so much can be said for that. You ever felt? And there's a great metaphor for my life sometimes. I've been in the thick of it. God's nowhere to be found. In fact, I've accused him of being sleeping when he should be on watch, helping me through the storm. The point is, he's there. He's sleeping. Jesus is there in a storm. He's sleeping. They wake him up. Lord, don't you care for us? Jesus says, what? What's going on? As the waves are going over the boat. What? 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 And Jesus stands up and he says, oh, is that what you're worried about? What's he say? Peace. Be still. Now, remember when we said it's all about what's on the inside. Long before Jesus said, peace be still out here, there was what working in him? Peace. And so I would say to you that peace has little to do with the absence of bad circumstances. Having peace, the fruit of the Spirit. Now, doesn't that sound good? To think that I can be at peace. David said, Psalm 23, right? You prepare a table, what? In the of my who? That's peace. That's peace. All right, to sit down at a banquet in the middle of the fight, any? That's peace. And so, how many times have we said it? How many times can we quote it? All things, all things, all things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Peace. The next one is patience. You know, I don't mind being patient as long as you hurry up. You know? And patience. Now again, the idea... Did you just look at Michael, Sheila? It's an inside joke. Here's a fruit, Mike, you need to pay attention to, along with me. But here's the thing. The word is long-suffering. Well, what does that mean, to suffer long? What it means is this, that when we're in the thick of it, we're not looking for the escape hatch, but rather to endure it. Wow. That's big. That's foreign to us. It really is. You mean to say that these difficulties... Have you ever had a difficulty you can't pray away? You can't faith away? You know what I'm saying? A difficulty that it just won't go away. It won't fast away. You can't call enough people to pray for you in a way. It just won't go away. Well, that's when this fruit of the Spirit kicks in, and it's called what? Enduring. Long suffering. Yeah, long suffering. Endure it. Enduring it. Suffering long. Wow. It's almost foreign, but this is what the Holy Spirit wants to produce in our lives. Okay, kindness. Kindness. Here's a fruit. kindness. Boy, here's one. Here's one. This is a big one. Kindness. Have you ever encountered someone who's rude?
Yeah.
It's a given, right? And the thing about encountering someone who's rude, mean-spirited, just mean people, is that the kind of thing that it wants to solicit from me is what? The same in return. And my tongue has bled, you know, before, and, you know, biting my tongue. And the thing is that here it is with kindness. This is the kind of thing the Holy Spirit wants to produce in our lives. That it's not so much what happens to me as how I respond to what happens to me. And how I respond in kindness. You got it? So it isn't, you know, it's like, well, you know, if it wasn't for that person who cut me off in traffic, I would have never thumbed my nose, raised my hand, rolled down the window, and shouted all those obscenities. That person had to cut me. It wasn't the person who cut you off that was the problem. Yeah. It's like putting it this way. You know, what is it about the red flag, about the red cape, that makes the bull go after the matador? Listen, that cape can be red and yellow with green polka dots. The bull is still going after the matador because there's something in the bull. There's something in the bull that makes him charge the matador. You know? And it's like all these things happen. Well, she said this to me, so boy, did I give it back to her. The fruit of the spirit of kindness just isn't working there. You know, it just isn't working there. Well, if she, well, nah, it's not she, it's thee. And so kindness, you know, kindness. The next one is, moving right along, is goodness. Oh, I like this, goodness. Now, when you read these, which we've already read them. No, watch. Okay, just listen to this for a moment. When you lift your eyes up a few verses and you read the other fruit that comes from a selfish lifestyle, he says those acts of a selfish lifestyle are this. Watch. Sexual immorality from adultery to homosexuality and everything in between. Impurity, debauchery. Debauchery, you know, it's like, what is debauchery? You know, debauchery is living a party type of life. Party time, you know. Let's eat, drink, and be merry. Let's go get drunk, carouse. Oh, that's debauchery. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, where you're just going to throw a monkey, you know, it's like, yeah, I'm always disagreeable. You got a problem. Factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. Now, here's the thing, hearing that, and then hearing love, joy, peace, patience, faithfulness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. What one sounds better? Just what just seems like it's just, yeah, you know, that just seems so, it just sounds wholesome, doesn't it? See, wholesome. And that's the idea behind this word goodness. It's wholesome. It's just, yeah, that's nice, that kind of stuff there. It's the kind of thing, goodness, where, you know, it's like, what's the ulterior motive here? And you ask the question because you have a sense about you, there's something, you know, just not clicking right here. There's something ulterior. Well, goodness is without ulterior motives. Goodness. Okay, gentleness. No, faithfulness. Oh, faithfulness. Faithfulness. I could camp on this, and I have before. Faithfulness. Because I think that, you know, if some of us treated our employer like we treated God, he'd fire us. It's like, you know, if some of us treated CLMP, which is now Eversource, like we treat God, the lights would be turned off. You don't miss payments and have your lights stay on. Now, that's all to say, to give you this idea about faithfulness, that it's this faithfulness means that we remain loyal. We just remain loyal. We remain loyal. And it's the kind of thing that we remain loyal even when it hurts. Now, don't get me wrong. There are situations in context, in relationships, where we have to break loyalties. There are. But we're talking about this whole fruit of the Spirit that he's after in our lives that produces in us a faithfulness. That man, when you latch on, it's like the proverbial dog sinking his teeth into the mailman's leg, you know? And he's just not letting go, you know? Faithfulness. That we stick with something that we've committed to. We have a loyalty about us. Okay. The next one, where are we? Gentleness? Gentleness. Gentleness. The idea here is being tender-hearted, meekness, tender-hearted. This has come out so much in my life in the way that I am ungentle with Sandra. Was that a nice way of saying it? Ungentle? Didn't that come across so nice? It's almost like Brian Williams' explanation of his not being in the... Did you hear his explanation? It's like, what? Sense. And, yeah, that's right, exactly. Oh, yeah, I just remembered. I really wasn't in the helicopter that took the grenade. But the idea is, you know, gentleness. That, and like I say, you know, we could be so rough. How many times has your mind wandered out of your mouth? And it's like, uh-oh, you know, too late. But how many times has, you know, and it's like, oh man, I wish I didn't say that. And it comes across hard. Now, it's not that sometimes things don't need to be said hard, but sometimes they're so rough, you know? Especially maybe with our spouses, with our kids. Comes across so hard and rough. Gentleness. And then the last one. And he saved the best for last in this right here. Self-control. Self-control. Wow, self-control. This is big. You see, self-control. It is the Holy Spirit's endeavor to bring a discipline to myself. Where you say, what is the opposite of self-control? The opposite of self-control is right here. You'll want to write this down. It's giving in to yourself, whatever yourself wants. Yeah, that's all. Lack of self-control is just giving in to yourself. That's a self-control. Lack of self-control. And what the Holy, and listen, you know, look at it this way. Where would society be? Where would our traffic situations be if we didn't have traffic control? Signs, stoplights, police, traffic, cops. Where? It'd be what? You'd be in trouble. You'd be in a wreck. Discipline in our lives is exactly that. Without it, your life would be chaos. And sometimes the lack of self-control shows up in our lives. It does, doesn't it? I'm not going to say where. I think we know. But this is big. The Holy Spirit wants to work in our lives this kind of fruit of discipline. Discipline. And it shows up in our lives where we don't give ourselves everything self wants. We don't. To do so becomes chaos, chaotic. It becomes gluttonous, giving yourself everything yourself wants. And so many other things it becomes. And so self-control. And so there they are, the nine fruit of the Spirit. We want to measure ourselves to anything. Here's a good thing to measure ourselves to. How am I doing today? You know? Let me hold up the fruit of the Spirit, you know? Holy Spirit, you know, you got your work cut out for you. You know? And here's the deal, and I'll close with this, okay, a takeaway. Here's the takeaway this morning. The takeaway is for you and me to say, Holy Spirit, I give you permission to call me up short in any one of these nine areas when, in fact, I am short in any one of these areas. I give you permission, Holy Spirit. See, this is how he wants to work in our life. This is where he wants to work. So, you're in a situation, and you're in traffic, and you're stopped, and someone lets you in. You're in a hurry. They let you in. You drive 25, 30 yards. Another person wants to get in. And you have a love choice to make, to think of yourself less. I'm in a hurry. Do I let this person in, or do I let... No, maybe the person behind me needs a little bit of, you know, they really need to know about love. I'll let them work on it. Or do you... You know, and this is all stupid stuff, but, you know... Or do I let them in? Do I think of myself less? You know? And I wait, okay, I let them in. And Holy Spirit, I give you permission in a context like that to call me on. Preferably before and not after I do the wrong thing. But certainly if I do. I give you permission, Holy Spirit. Where there's something in my life where, you know what, I'm doing everything, every which way I can to get out of it. And the Holy Spirit says, I want to work in your life endurance. Well, Holy Spirit, I give you permission to call me on that. Say, I give you permission to call me on that, to work endurance, long suffering in my life. Wow. Let's stand and pray. Here's something about fruit. Other people greatly enjoy this kind of fruit from your life. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. Father, we want to thank you for your grace. I thank you for everyone here, God. You're at work in our lives. Lord, I want to say that I give you permission. I'm open-hearted. I'm open to the work of your Spirit in my life to call me up on these things and to work in my life this fruit so that I'm abounding in fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. God, help each one of us. In Christ's name, amen. God bless you.